Greetings, this is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We're also simulcasting on East Eddie's Stargate channel on YouTube, so check out that one as well, where you can actually interact with the people on the show. Crazy stuff going on. I wanted to give a little news, because people keep asking me what's happening, but right now we're under Snowmageddon, and we've got some pictures that are going to come up on the site so you can see them, and I've been on the tractor, for God, 3 days straight almost, getting out of this mess. But I gave my tractor a new name, No Eye. And so tractor's name is No Eye Deer. It's a John Deere. So anyway, but I figure I might as well become good friends with it because my butt's been glued to it for the past few days. It's just unbelievable, the snow here. We're still digging out, and we're definitely going to need a little assistance come spring with some storm damage and other things. But we didn't fix some pipes and a few other things. But anyway, to get on with the regular news, it's pretty crazy. Trump has declared a state of emergency to build the wall. This would also activate military tribunals along with the currency reset and Gasara. And if you're going to Google Gasara, you can find out more about that. But the good news is we're now in the gold standard, and we have been for a long time. It just hasn't been announced, but now it's been announced. So the Federal Reserve is toast, which we've wanted that to happen for a long time. All your money siphoned off from the people have been going somewhere else and not back to the people and infrastructure. So that's been changed. Bill Barr was confirmed as the new attorney general and has said he will get to the bottom of the real Russian collusion, the FISA corruption, origin and use of false and salacious Russian dossier paid for by the Clinton Foundation, used as a foundation for the Mueller special counsel. Clinton wrongdoings, emails, destroying computers, phones, subpoenaed evidence, et cetera. So it looks like all of this is going to come to the surface here real soon, and it's going to be really interesting. The Senate Investigative Committee findings revealed there was no Russian collusion with the Trump administration. You know, we've had Russia jammed down our throats for 2 years, spending over $30 million for a nothing burger, and the press and the FBI knew it was a nothing burger from the very beginning. So some heads are going to roll. A lot of people fired around this already. So this is all going to be revealed. And when this all unravels, there's going to be a lot of people coming unglued. You know, their icons will fall, the masks will come off. And the false reality given to them by the mainstream media will give way to the truth. The liars and deceivers will not be able to walk the streets. And just remember how many times they lied to you about Russia. And if they're lying about Russia, what else are they lying to you about? So, and this is another big one here, which El Chapo, the Mexican drug lord, was found guilty, but not before revealing millions of dollars of payoffs to American politicians. And I'm going, I remember when I said, why would politicians be against stopping the rapes, the child trafficking, 90% of the heroin and other drugs coming across the border? Why would they ignore and dismiss the caravan? And so rumor has it in his testimony, Chapo, it's been confirmed. Well, it hasn't been confirmed. It is in the transcripts and waiting for that to come out. But basically they said Hillary Clinton, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, and a few other names popped up, you know, as far as, millions of dollars being given to these American politicians. So that's a big one. So now you know why they're so against the wall. So hopefully the transcripts from the El Chapo's court case was made public. Now you know why they're so against the wall. And it's also revealed that the main operation was based out of Chicago. So who do we know that came out of Chicago to become president? All this stuff is going to the top, you know, so you'll find out later when all this stuff is revealed, it goes to the very top. Also in the news, John, not of God, healer to the stars, was arrested for baby farming, sexual abuse with minors, murder, etc. Not looking good for John or his Hollywood friends. You know, a couple years ago, I had a really bad feeling concerning John of God. Some things just were not adding up. I'm really glad I listened. They were trying to get a foothold here and wanted me to sponsor him, and I said no. And I didn't know why. I just knew it just wasn't adding up. Something didn't feel right. And the key witness, Sabrina Bittencourt, was reported as committing suicide, was actually found alive. So she is still alive, and she's the one that blew the whistle on all this stuff and brought it to the light. So it was one of the victims that was found dead, not Sabrina Bittencourt. So that's good news. Anyway, bad news for the other victim, but good news that Sabrina will still be testifying. And a little heads up, all of the most powerful leaders are working together to bring peace and prosperity to the world. If there is any collusion, it's extremely good. They're all also colluding with off-worlders to bring about the awakening healing process. So we need to ask ourselves, you know, are we creating heaven on earth? You know, are we operating in a universal law? And that's the main thing. Forget about all the nonsense. Forget about the race baiting, the race wars, the gender wars, everything else. Let's just go back to universal law and ask ourselves, are we creating heaven on earth? You know, are we just projecting and blaming everybody else for our own wounds and traumas and unhealed wrong conclusions from past experiences? So that's the news. And without any further ado, we're going to bring back Allison Coe. And Allison was great on the last show. You can access the last show if you want to get her full bio. She does all kinds of different work out there. She's doing a lot of hypnosis work and regression work and everything else. And so she has a lot of new stuff that's come to light. So without any further ado, Allison, are you with us?
Hey, James, I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, great. Feel free to comment on any of that.
Oh, Lord. Kept coming across my mind was the grand purge, the grand purge, the grand purge, the grand purge. That's it.
Yeah.
Just a purging. Such a purge going on everywhere. And in order to heal it, you have to feel it. You have to see it. You know, it's like, that is the one thing that I think so many people forget about, what the benefit of having someone like Trump in office is, that they rip the carpet up, you know? And so they pull the rug up, you get to see what's under the rug. You get to deal with it, you know, whether it's racism, sexism, anything, any of that junk that everybody admitted was, or thought was gone. No, it was just all swept under the rug. So you finally rip the rug up, you deal with the stuff that's been hidden under there. And it's wonderful, because then you don't lay the rug back down with all this dirty stuff underneath it. So, this grand purge is going on.
Yeah, a lot of things. What I see in all these things, and that's a whole different subject, the toxic femininity. But what I see is, you know, there's the divine feminine, and, you know, the house of Mary, and that's all based on love and healing and nurturing and things like that. It's a different energy. And then you've got the wounded feminine, or they even call it the toxic feminine. And that seems to have taken over for some reason, you know, the women's marches and things like that, you know, with Sharia law now, they're calling for a lot of people in these women marches. And it's very sad, because I'm all for women's empowerment. I've always been, and equality and everything else. But what I'm seeing here is that this is becoming really toxic. It's not healthy. And, you know, all the divisions, you know, the race divisions, the gender divisions, all these wars, gender wars, all these divisions are all being escalated by the very people that are being revealed to be not who you think they are, and the ones that are probably going to be arrested in the very near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. I do think, you know, everything has a vibrational scale to it, including healing has its own vibrational scale. And as you start healing, either on a micro or a macro level, you have to kind of climb up the scale. And at the top would be joy and bliss and freedom and love. At the bottom is kind of apathy and anger and grief. And so some of these movements that you see are in fact a healing process for these people who are marginalized or affected, you know, depending on where they're at. And so it can come out as looking toxic, but it can also come out as being part of a very valuable healing process for those people. It can be interesting. It just depends on how far they take it, whether they dwell in that or not, whether they keep moving forward in their healing or not, you know, whether they're blaming and hating and resenting instead of, you know, healing and releasing. So it's a very interesting process to witness. And everything, of course, is micro and macro. And that goes for the earth too. The earth is matched with these people. Everybody, every being is matched with the earth's process. So it's just a fascinating, fascinating time to be alive and to have everything kind of be revealed, whether that's through social media, through everybody being so connected, through like YouTube or through TV, through anything. You know, we're all through the computer, through the internet. It's like we're all able to see this process unfold now and all over the world. Yeah. Nobody's untouched. Nobody is. And I do think that a lot of it is a healing, you know.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting that you go to Italy and a lot of countries over there, and they have these giant Trump statues, you know, that are balloons, you know, where Trump is taking out the deep state and taking out the global elite and everything else. And they're more active than they are here in the States, which is amazing how Europe is so much behind that, because they've been under that thumb for so long.
Yeah.
And so now you've got the yellow vests and the white hats and everything else all joining together in a global effort. Or, you know, to bring back the freedom and the prosperity and everything, you know, the God-given gifts that we all deserve, and you know, universal peace and things like that. But I think it's going to get, before we have universal peace, I think we're going to have a little craziness, but eventually I think we'll get to that.
Yeah, I think we're in the stage of the universal craziness right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it moves up. It moves up. We're in the universal purge.
Yeah. I see some of these protesters, and, you know, and you go, where do you start with that? I mean, they're just screaming and raging and just, I mean, to the point where they totally look possessed. Some of them probably are.
Yeah.
And you go, where do you even start with this? I guess they, and when people get into that rage, something's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be a smackdown, their ego, their wounded ego. There's going to be a smackdown, and then you can talk to them. But when they're in that state, you know, I'm not a violent person, but if somebody started screaming and raging and swinging at me, I would have a hard time. You know, I would try to walk away, but boy, there's a part of me that that kind of wants to react to that. And they are going to have that reaction, unfortunately. But I just look at them. I just go, God, this is so sad. You have all the things you're screaming and ranting about, most of it's untrue, and you're just projecting your own unhealed wounds, you know, out, you know, into the world and on people and events and things like that.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. Like when you scream and rage, you obviously have something that needs to come out. So screaming and raging will get it out, right? Just get it out. The job is to just get it out. But if there's somebody around you who's reacting to that, it actually fuels it instead of dissipates it. And so screaming and raging doesn't do well when you're doing it in front of trained, you know, policemen or anything like that.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, I know the policemen should.
The policemen should just open their hands, say, "Okay, get it out, get it all out," and then give them a big hug afterwards.
Right, just like a parent.
Maybe we can, change this program, you know. But you know, I just think, you know, as long as you've got people so twisted and so warped and violent, you know, we are going to need the, you know, police and things of that nature. But hopefully, things can be done in a humanitarian way.
Yeah, I sure do hope so. And I think there are people, yes, who are so twisted, warped, and violent. And then there are people who are so wounded. And then there are people who are they're so empathic that they feel the feelings of so many people around them, and they're not even theirs. And so they're responding the same way. And so it's like you have this whole broad range of people who are caught up in this crazy time and in this purge and in this just insanely like open wound that's going on the earth. And it's like we all have kind of this place in it, and there are those of us who heal, but we also are being activated by the wounds that are going on. You know, it's like somebody's out there poking a big wound with a stick, and it's like all of us are reacting our own way, you know. And it's important that, you know, we each allow ourselves, you know, some compassion and the ability to heal a little bit, you know,
I agree. I think most of the masses are in what we call reactionary mind, and they just react, and they react to what the news feeds them. They react to their environment, and they're not in creationary mind. We're actually creating a different reality. And, you know, they're owning their attitudes and emotions and feelings and taking personal responsibility and healing them. And then they're moving into creationary mind where they're actually creating a different reality where most of the people aren't aware of that. And they're in reactionary mind and they're just reacting, you know, to whatever input, you know, comes to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, it's a pretty interesting time to be alive. It's a pretty interesting time to, you know, no matter what your specific role is in the earth right now, if you're a healer, it's a very interesting time. If you're not and you're a leader, it's a very interesting time. If you're a soldier, it's an interesting time. I mean, it's scary, it's fascinating, it's beautiful, and it's necessary. That's the thing.
And for some reason, all we all chose to be here.
Yeah, we all chose to be here. There's no better show in the world. Oh my gosh.
You know, somebody said that. I love that old saying. They said, gods don't do boring things. And that must be accurate because we all did not, definitely didn't choose a peaceful time to come into, you know. Probably bored sitting up there just hanging around doing nothing, you know. It's like,
what's interesting too is that I don't think, you know, it's not all of us, all of our soul isn't here, you know, watching this. Part of us is out above in the ethers or like in a spaceship or somewhere watching this too. So it's like we're such fractals, you know, a portion of us is here like in it. It's kind of like playing a video game, if you will. Mm-hmm. Or at least this is what I get from a lot of my sessions is these, you know, our essence is split, it's fractalized between all of these other beings, higher dimensional, lower dimensional. We talked about this a little bit in our last show. And so it's like part of us is up on these upper dimensions, just like, you got this, go do it. We got your back. Here's the information. Here's this new healing ability, or here's this new, you know, technology that'll help, and all this stuff. So we have our cheerleading squad almost on the other side, you know, and it's so fascinating that we knew this was going to be crazy. And so we kept part of ourselves out.
It's like our meat suits have gone rogue, you know. We lost the connection somehow, you know, but I really do think that there is a reconnection happening right now, and an activation within the soul, which is the fail-safe mechanism, where people are kind of going, wow, they're stepping back and looking at the world around them and starting to choose, you know, I want to do something different. You know, this just doesn't work anymore for me.
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. I get a lot of that in my sessions as well, that, you know, we chose to have a grand experiment here on Earth, and Earth chose the experiment too, which is we were going to separate ourselves from our soul consciously and just be an ego. And ego can't create. It can't do anything worth value over life after life. It's just going through some motions. But we've made a choice to all of us try to reconnect in this life, try to reconnect to our soul. So you are exactly right, because we're ready and the earth is ready to reconnect as well. So that is the time we're in, reconnecting.
The ego seems to be like you're saying, the big disconnect. And I know there are other unseen negative influences. They're very good at putting a wedge between you and your soul, you know, and creating that disconnect. And I've seen that happening as well, and they're coming in and animating the bodies. You know, there's a lot of people, they've been gone for a long time. They have no connection to their soul at all, and they're very imbalanced, and you know, they're not in touch with their divine feminine or divine masculine. They're totally out of balance, and not only that, they're being operated by other unseen negative influences. Does that come up in some of your counseling?
Absolutely. Yeah. The manipulation from outside forces is always present. it's decreasing now, although there is a last kind of grasp going on. But no, it is, they are losing their ability to manipulate due to some of the newer technology that was put in place from the information coming through from our higher dimensional selves, giving us things like the internet to break out of this manipulation, although it can be used to manipulate, of course, but it can also be used to break out of the manipulation. But yes, we have been manipulated because we signed up for this kind of learning curve, if you will, of going through just depending on the ego. We allowed all these outside forces to come in and manipulate us. And we didn't know it because we weren't connected to our higher selves, our higher consciousness. We had a complete disconnect. And then throughout the last several decades, we've been reconnecting, and their grip has lessened. And so what it is like we this information that comes through these sessions is all about frequency, right? There's a certain frequency that's been blocked off from the earth for eons. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we access this frequency, we access source, we access love, we access all that is. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating.
They say it's through the word that we got lost, and it's through the word we'll return. And eventually we return to silence where we have our own personal connection with, you know, zero point, God, creator, great spirit, whatever name you want to give it. But, and that's what I tell people. I said, you know, the fastest path to enlightenment is first to process your old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience, and then get out in nature and just shut up and listen, you know, mm-hmm. get away from all the distractions and get out in nature. And then that's when you're going to awaken. And one of the lamas said that I studied with, he just said, the reason there's so few enlightened beings on this planet is it because it's so damn simple. And he said, it's the simplicity we need to get back to. You know, there's one other thing I want to say too. The people are calling me, and I'm finding this in my own life, my family, everybody here are having crazy dreams right now over the past few days. And I've actually written down some of them, but have you noticed that people are just off the scale with their dream? And we seem to be going into the fourth dimension where there's a lot of chaos and a lot of craziness, and working there and doing cleanup. And then some people actually remembering what they did, and the dreams are just off the scale.
Yeah, I'm finding that. Absolutely. People come to me and they bring a list of questions, right, to these sessions. And then we access our higher self to answer these through hypnosis. We access the higher self to answer their questions for them. Most of the questions are, a huge number of the questions are about these crazy dreams that they've been having, just so vivid, either so violent or so otherworldly, you know. And what's going on with them? Why are they having these dreams? You know, it's fascinating. It's a bleed through dimensions a lot of the time. Just like you said, it might be going into the fourth dimension. It's a bleed through of dimensions a lot of time, giving them an indication of what they're working on. And where mm-hmm. we're going as a human species, you know, what we're being prepared for. It's insane. And man, I have to admit, like lately I've been having some violent dreams.
Like, yeah,
just
me too.
Violent. Where I'm just like,
yeah, and I'm usually going into the future and seeing what I saw, a world where we took a wrong path and we went down that socialism path and it didn't turn out good. And we ended up in these gray, they call them the new dream communities. And everybody wore gray and the kids were separated from their parents and the food was terrible. It was bland and everything was in disarray. The plumbing didn't work. It was a real mess. And then I've had other dreams where I'm out in the woods and everybody's split up into these little packs. And they're all in survival and things like that. And I'm in there trying to get people to, like, you know, take a different path and say, hey, why don't we all work together and get through this versus fighting each other? And you know, it's pretty heavy. It's pretty, you know, we're dealing with armed conflicts and everything. It's pretty crazy.
It is. It is. And that's what a lot of mine have in them too. It's that conflict. Either responding to conflict and trying to set it straight, or creating some conflict and trying to work through it.
Well, you know, the Tibetans, they have it. They said, some of the lamas I was studying with, they put dreams into different categories. They have four different categories. And one is just your processing the day stuff, you know, whatever happened during the day and things like that, or you're just a process dream. You know, other dreams, you're going into the astral levels or the higher dimensions, and you're having experiences there, you know. And, you know, some are negatively influenced, you know, some are positively influenced, depending on where you go. And then other dreams are prophecy dreams as well. And and so, things are symbolic. And so when you write down, you know, what was important, what the symbols in the dream, you know, that who you were, what were you dealing with, what was the surrounding, all that stuff. Yeah. Were there animals in the dream, things like that. And then you can define the dreams. There's no one way to define the dreams. You have to kind of catalog it first or categorize it.
Correct. Yeah. You know, that's very similar to the way Edgar Cayce describes the different avenues of dreaming, or the different variations in dreams as well. And I think it is so fascinating to actually categorize them like that, that not all dreams are prophecy, not all dreams are other dimensional, not all dreams are symbolic. But you'll figure it out once you start studying your own dreams. You'll see certain themes play out in certain ones. And some of the dreams are past life dreams, even, you know, and in other timelines. And you'll know those once you study your own dreams. You'll realize right away when you have a past life dream. They're so.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That was the one I forgot. I knew I was going to forget one of them, but one was the past life.
Yeah, it sounds like they were very. It sounds like your lamas or the Tibetan lamas and Edgar Cayce were. They had their finger on the same pulse of their descriptions. Wow. Yeah, I love that
definitely.
Stuff. So, go ahead. I was going to tell you, I was listening to a couple sessions recently, re-listening to them, because I was like, man, I know there's a similarity between these. This is just too odd. And I had this session recently. I don't know if you want to go into it, but it's pretty cool.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to tell you about it. So I had this session recently with this woman. It was just, maybe a couple weeks ago. And she goes, she's like, I'm having her go through this, you know, door or portal. Sorry, you might hear some noises in the background. My daughter's eating soup. There's no quiet way for an 8-year-old to eat soup, I'll tell you that much.
No, I know.
So she's eating soup over there. Anyway, so this woman, she goes through this portal. And she describes this beautiful kind of glowing bluish white light. And then I ask her where the source of this light is. She said it's this kind of glowing spherical crystal orb that's emitting this energy. And I said, okay, well, where are you at? Where do you feel like you're at? She's like, I'm in inner earth. Like, she's just very sure about it. I'm in inner earth. And this light sustains the inner earth. And it brings this frequency to us. And it's our nutrition, it's our consciousness, it's our health, it revitalizes everything, it helps everything grow. And she began to say, you know, I'm asking her all these questions, you know, about this orb, right, that's emitting this glowing, because this is very familiar to me. And she doesn't know any of what I've had in other sessions, and I haven't really published much of this stuff. And so she's telling me about this orb and how it was placed there by the beings who helped create and seed Earth. And there was one on the surface, but it had been destroyed a millennia ago by the beings who wanted to control humans. So a different faction who wanted to control humans. And so they were cut off from this frequency. But the inner Earth beings are exposed to this frequency regularly. And so it's a higher dimensional existence in the inner earth because of this frequency that they're exposed to, and how we take turns going back and forth between the inner earth and the outer earth. And we come to the inner earth to rejuvenate and refresh and be exposed to this higher consciousness. And She said that sometimes we come in our dreams, sometimes we come when we transition, sometimes we come in meditation. There are certain beings who can come in meditation, but very few because they don't know about it. So I'm all over that. You know, I'm like, oh, what do we need to do? Come on, what do I, you know, what, how do I, what about, you know, asking all those questions about, you know, should people do this? What, how does it look like when they do it? All this stuff. Now, what she didn't know is that a couple months before then, well, I guess it was, actually it was 7 months ago. 7 months ago, I have this session with this high-ranking scientist in a in this global corporation, right? Amazing guy. And he's asking a question. One of his questions on his list that he brought is, where do I get all this technology from? It's so otherworldly. Nobody in the world is doing this. It's so unique. And I've always had access to this crazy technology. And so during his session, he meets this group of wispy white beings up in the sky, up in, you know, out in space. And they're trying to communicate with him, but they're so advanced, it's hard for them to communicate on a, you know, verbally, vocally, you know, with a human being. So they're kind of basically, you know, communicating through telepathy and stuff and telling him how he was one of them and he's chosen to come to Earth. And that he needs to come here to bring this higher frequency to Earth, and that there's this orb energy that was on Earth and in the Earth, and now it's only in the Earth, and it needs to be exposed, and it needs to come to the upper surface of Earth now, because we've been cut off. Earth has been cut off from this frequency. And that once we reestablish this frequency, this source energy frequency, then the Earth will become this kind of like portal or this gateway for other beings to interact with us. We will no longer be kind of set apart from the galaxy, if you will. And so that was 7 months ago. So then we go back to 2 weeks ago, this lady, and I'm asking her, well, you know, what would happen if people were exposed to this frequency? And she said, well, it would start this whole process of the Earth being this heaven on Earth, and it would heal. The whole Earth would heal. It would raise a vibration. Everything would heal. You know, bliss would be the normal state of being. It would raise a vibration. So everybody would be in a higher vibration, and the Earth has been chosen to become this kind of satellite portal for the galaxy. So all these beings need to use the Earth as this portal, and it can't be used as a portal because we keep effing around and not having this higher frequency. Same information as that gentleman 7 months ago. And so, so in the session 2 weeks ago, she's giving us information, or at least her higher self is giving us information about how to connect to this energy that's in the Earth and bring it up to the surface through meditation. And then in the session 7 months ago, he's given information about how he's supposed to build this technology this orb technology that will help raise the frequency and vibration of the Earth through everybody who's exposed to it. So two different ways of getting the same exact thing. And it is fascinating because that's not the only time I've heard that the inner Earth is a place where we go to heal and rejuvenate and be exposed to these higher frequencies. And so that's really, really interesting stuff going on right now. And the other thing I wanted to say was later in this woman's session from 2 weeks ago, she said that the inner Earth needs to become the outer Earth. I said, well, what do you mean that by that? And she said, well, once you start focusing on it and bringing it up here, it will change the outer Earth so much that it will become the new Earth. And I was like, missing piece.
Yeah. I don't know if you know what's going on here, but we've had a direct connection with the inner Earth for a long time. I've actually written about it a long time ago. And I talked about the forever light that they have in here. And there's these spheres, these light spheres that sit on top of these stalagmites, and they grow all their food. They generate energy. They send out like a bliss energy. It's really interesting. No one wrote about this like years ago.
That's crazy because I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, I actually went there and I saw everything. Everything is preserved on the inner earth. All the animals, even the ones that we think are extinct or were myths or legends, are actually preserved in the inner earth. And they've been waiting for us to get our act together. And a lot of the, you know, the gnomes and fairies and elves and all that stuff still exists. And that's a hard one for people to swallow. But they're waiting for us to get our act together. Before they interact with this. And it's not too far away. They're getting ready to make themselves known. But Mount Adam has a gate, a doorway right into the inner earth, and ships come in and out of it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so, it's such a necessary focus for us right now, is basically bringing whatever this bliss, this joy, this high vibration frequency up to the surface. You know, that is a necessary focus right now. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting for us because we're the missing link. Everybody thinks that we have to just sit around with our thumbs up our butts. No, we're the missing link. We have to actually get to work. Get to work, everybody. Purge out your old crap, release, and get ready. Be of service. And that's why this healing process is so necessary, whether it looks toxic, whether it looks disgusting, you know, nothing looks worse than, you know, when you're got a face full of makeup and you're freaking raging and you're just raw. But pretty soon you wipe your face off, you get cozy in your bathrobe, you get relaxed and you start, you know, you get cute again, you get busy, you start healing, you know, and that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
When you come out that healed being.
Exactly. Yeah. When the inner beauty shines out, that to me is the real beauty. You know, the painted faces and everything else doesn't really work for me. But I've seen that so many times, and unfortunately the social consciousness is really pushing towards towards youth, keeping your youth and everything else through all the wrong methods, you know, even
wrong methods.
The elite are using horrible methods to try to maintain their longevity and youth, you know, but that's all backfiring now. And I don't know if you want to go there, but that's a really
it's like you want an avenue to youth. Just watch just listen to our last show. It's like that is like just through laughing and through being lighthearted. So I was like asking this lady, this client of mine a couple of weeks ago who had that session, I was like, well, what is the one thing that's holding us back? The one thing that's holding us back. If we could change one thing that's holding us back from stepping into these higher frequencies, what is it? And I was like surprised by the answer because I was expecting here meditation.
that seems to be
the umbrella for everything. No, she actually said forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
She actually said that holding on to resentments and hatred and sorrow and grief from the past is the one thing. And this is her higher self talking. It is the one thing that is tethering us down to these 3D deep, just like gravitational pull. It's like being at the bottom of the ocean, having all of this weight on you. You know, we're just crushing, this crushing weight, whether it's from guilt or sorrow or, you know, like I said, having been hurt or victimized. It's like, if you can release that, whether that's an ugly process or a beautiful process, who the hell cares? Get it out. Get it out. Because that will instantly raise your vibration. If everybody is releasing that stuff, we're on to something. We're on to something
I agree
big.
That, the wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience, all those are holding our vibration down. And we got to figure out a way to process that. And I love the forgiveness thing. But I want to add one thing about forgiveness is forgiving others. But we have to forgive ourselves, too, for choosing that reality.
Bingo.
You know, and just gain the wisdom from the experience. It settles in the soul and you're done with it. But if you don't release it and let it go, you're just going to keep creating that same reality over and over again until you get it right.
Bingo. Man, you are so right. I was just going to, that was on the tip of my tongue right there, because guilt, you know, guilt is a big one for a lot of people. Yeah. And I've danced with that recently, just, you know, with going through a divorce and being the one who kind of instigated it and just being like, I can't do this anymore. I got to go. I'm outie. You know, I did my time. I love you. I got to move on. And just all the guilt that just comes with that, even though I'm like, I could see it from the highest perspective. I'm super healthy with my processes, with love and open. And you know, I have all of these great tools that I use all the time to process stuff. And guilt was an everyday occurrence for me. And that's why I haven't been like doing videos or everything, because I can't be projecting that stuff. I got to deal with it. I got to get it out in my own healthy way and not spread it around. Like we said about the riots, you know, it's like having an audience that fights back. Having, like, whether it's the police or anybody, somebody who's like, just kind of like, you know, has an equal force pushing against you is no good. You have to almost rage in front of the ocean, you know, almost just like, or a gentle stream or something, just like, get it all out. And then you see this gentle stream and you're much more relaxed. There's no, like, nothing coming at you, you know, forcefully to push it back in your face. And it's like, I had to do this releasing of this guilt on a daily basis. A daily basis, a lot of it was false guilt. It wasn't my own. It was being handed to me on a silver platter by my beautiful ex-husband, you know?
Yeah. What I see all the time is, like, one, you know, most of your religions, they enslave the masses through fear, guilt, and unworthiness. Mm-hmm. And they're all low frequency energies. They're not there to free you. They're antichrist consciousness. And that's a rough one for people to start realizing. And, you know, Jesus didn't die for our sins, because we were sinning before he died and after he died. You know? So obviously that wasn't the reason. You know, he died because a bunch of ignorant people killed him. That's why he died. But he was rocking the boat, you know, and calling them out on their stuff and calling out the religious leaders for, you know, living fat off of being the go-between between people and God versus people making their own God connection. And you know, people need to come to terms with that and say, you know what, everything I've been taught is incorrect, especially about religion. You know, the gods of old, you know, people go, I don't believe in God. And I go, which God don't you believe in? You know, you've got the Greek gods, the Egyptian gods, you know, the Jewish God, you got all these different gods out there, and they all existed. And, they all behave differently, you know, so which one don't you believe in? But we have to transcend all that, because whenever you have a being, you know, and an image and everything else, you're not talking to the creator of all creation. It's something lesser. But I think people are finally figuring that out. But going back to the guilt and the fear and all that stuff, I love that saying where, you know, I've never made a mistake. I've manifested a lot of things and I've gained a lot of wisdom. And that's where we need to go back to and forgive and release the past and just say, you know what? Now I know what I want. You know, I thought that was what I want. Now I know what I don't want. And by experiencing a lot of little what you don't want, you get back to what you want. And I think too, is that people that are operating on a higher consciousness and energy level are aware of their past lives and their advanced lives that they lived, and they don't fit in to the constraints of today's society. So we have to stop beating ourselves up because we couldn't fit into that little box and especially the relationship box. We weren't meant to be locked into something, you know, and that, you know, our spirit's created to be free. And that's the problem. And it's a rough one, you know, to transcend that. You know, I've been going through that myself too. And same thing, if I had to just break away from everything, I go, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I need my freedom. I need to be free. And I have a bigger job to do here. You know, I can't be what other people want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's too limited. I can't be that. There's, I have a much bigger path here, and we have to forgive ourselves for setting those boundaries. Sometimes we have to set those boundaries. But it's so weird, this ownership thing and the, you know, and all the constraints and rules and regulations. You know, they don't exist on the higher dimensions. You know, they tried to trap Jesus in that one. It's a really good one because, you know, under Jewish law, if a wife dies, she goes to the brother, she becomes his wife. And if he dies, she goes to the other brother. And so when she dies, she goes to heaven. So if she's with all three brothers, she commits adultery.
Oh,
right.
God.
And so they tried to trap him into that. And so they said, well, whose wife will she be? And Jesus goes, none of them, because when she goes to heaven, she'll be free as an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people don't realize is that if you are creating heaven on earth, you need to be free as the angels. And
right.
That's a hard one for people to understand.
And that's an internal, you know, an internal state of being too. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you can be in these relationships, but you need to be free within them. You know, they
exactly.
You have to be unconstrained in your power, in your energy, in your thoughts, in your emotions. Everything has to be unconstrained in your growth and your evolution. And whether that's in work, whether that's in religion, whether that, you know, like in your career or religion or within relationships, all these structures need to allow for this freedom that is our natural,
yeah,
purest state of being. They all do. And
I
think that's what's coming
I
up. I think that's what's coming up right now, is that people are breaking away.
Yeah. And yeah. They're getting, they want that freedom. And I've also, before there's another train of thought, I think I missed it, but it's about that.
Bye-bye.
It's about that free. Oh, it's actually, you're enslaving another person if you're allowing yourself to be enslaved too, you know, to these energies and these rules and things. And so in a way, it may seem like you're hurting somebody, but you're actually not. You're freeing them to take the next step and go to the next level and not stay in limitation. So it's actually, although it's rough and it's hard, you know,
it's
sometimes to take that step.
What sucks is them not. So what sucks is knowing that. It's almost like a curse to know that, right? But not being able to explain it to the other person because they're not ready to hear it. So it's like, I wish you knew what I knew. You're going to be so happy once I leave or once I break out of this. It's going to help you. It's kind of like your parents when they spank you, or at least I would say. I was spanked when I was little all the time. And it's like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Right.
I didn't understand that until I was a parent. And I was like, oh, yeah. Anytime you have to, like, discipline your kid, it does hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I was spanked a few times, and I deserved it, though. I totally deserved it. You know, my dad, I tell people about my dad, he was like a walking Buddha. He actually walked it and lived it. And, you know, he'd sit us down, we'd have to tell him what we did. That was the worst part, was disappointing my dad and then having to tell him what we did and why, and why it wasn't right, you know. That was the worst part. I'd rather have the spanking than that, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's, you know, sometimes I think that's one of the problems that, you know, if you don't discipline a kid, they go, well, I want to make them unlimited. Yeah. And I said, well, you end up with a tyrant, you know, if you don't set some boundaries. And kids get really insecure without boundaries. You know, they need those boundaries, you know, so it's really important.
Well, it's interesting because we learn on Earth, we choose to learn by contrast, right?
Yeah.
So it's taking away that lesson by not teaching your kids what's right or wrong or consequences, it leaves them completely unfulfilled. And it's weird because as humans, we learn from contrast here. It's just how we learn. So we'll see that on soul progression too. It's like, when we go through these sessions and, this client is shown, so maybe this client experienced, you know, complete utter isolation in their life, this life, or abuse or neglect from their family as a child or what have you, and then they're taken to another, so that's this life. And then when we go into the past, they're taken to a life where they have just a wonderful relationship with their family. They're so supported, so loved, so taken care of, and so there's so much fellowship in their family. And when we get to the higher self, my first question is always like, why the hell did you show them that? Like, why did you need to show them that experience today? Why did they need to see that experience where they were with that family? They said, well, it's the same characters. It's the same people that are in her life now. But they all signed up to learn from the contrast of those two existences. So that's how we learn. That's how our soul learns, is through contrast. Well, I want to see now what it feels like to not be loved. Ooh, now I want to know what it feels like to be loved. And we learn from that. Just like you were saying, who was it, you who was just saying, like, you had to, you know, we have to travel through some bad relationships, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In order to hone and figure out what we want from a good relationship is. That's how we learn.
Yeah.
And so to rob people from that is terrible. So like robbing the kids from, you know, consequences and stuff like that. Absolutely. We're missing the mark there. We're absolutely missing the mark. They signed
up
for that.
We're here for soul evolution, basically.
Yeah.
You know, everybody goes, why am I here? And I said, soul evolution. That's why you came here, to evolve the soul.
Yeah.
And some people have all kinds of experiences and relationships, and they're really, you know, gaining all kinds of wisdom through those experiences. And some people are just, you know, they just took over the farm and got married and had 2.2 kids and then the dog, and that's it, you know. But that's maybe what they chose to do. They need to chill out for a little while.
Yeah, it's important to look at life, not just, I mean, it's important to be present. Don't get me wrong. That's hugely important. But it's also important to look at life not just as a snapshot of this life, but as a whole kind of elaborate quilt, threaded quilt that's happened between time and time and time again, and to see where you're at and to see why you're there. That's hugely important. So and then we come through all of the soul evolution, all of this progression. All of us are here right now, playing our parts, whether that's a good guy, whether that's a bad guy, whether that's a wounded person, or whether that's a, you know, a powerful warrior. We're all playing our parts, and they all have ripple effects, waking each other up, affecting each other, healing each other, spurning each other's growth, or, you know, triggering each other to wake up. And we're all doing that. It's all like a spider web, you know, all of it interconnected and woven together, because we need to experience this right here, right now, this actual, you know, evolution during a lifetime. So it's not enough to just evolve life after life, but an actual huge burst during a lifetime. That's what we're here to witness.
I know. And people that chose now, especially the times we're in right now, have really chosen the big challenge, because we're in rapid fire. I mean, everything is evolving so fast and so quick, and not to be fooled by all the manifestations going out there, and go back within. And you know, sometimes I like with the news, you know, I really felt like, God, you know, I need to get this out, to get people to look differently at life. Like, maybe what I've been told was totally incorrect. Maybe I need to reevaluate. Maybe my adversary is not really my adversary. Maybe they're actually doing, you know, working on my behalf, you know, and get people to just rethink everything. And the main thing is to get people to stop giving their power away to external sources. That's the main problem. Who, no matter who it is, you know, they say we get the government we deserve. And now we're seeing, you know, we're seeing that firsthand. I mean, it's crazy. I go, who voted for these people? You know, it's just like, and I go, well, I guess they're here playing a part to wake everybody up to, that maybe we need to do something different. You know, that's the only thing I can come to, because the people we have that are supposedly making decisions on how we're going to be living our lives and things like that are subhuman. You know, they're definitely not enlightened. And they're just, they seem to be totally self-serving and you know, kind of extremely lacking in character, you might say.
Yeah. And that's meant to wake us up, right? It's meant to trigger us to wake us up, to get us angry or to get us fear, like to just wake us up. And we need these people to play these roles, you know? It's a grand awakening right now.
Yeah. One of the sad things is people, we're getting to 55 minute mark, but people are, one of the sad things is that I see over and over again is that, you know, people have lost their inner sensitivity, their ability to just sense and feel the nature of somebody and whether they're being truthful or honest. And that's a big one. And they don't have the wisdom through experience, you know, that it's like socialism. We know where that goes. We know where it's gone in the past. But there's a lot of youth out there that don't know, that haven't done the research, don't remember what happened, where people were disarmed and the genocide followed right after that. And it was all socialistic government that did that. But, you know, that's another story. But, you know, they should pull out their history books and start reading. Although not all history is correct. But, overall, you know, read where all the tyrants of the past, you know, how they operated and all the freebies they promised and everything else. But unfortunately, we just got the notice, so we're going to have to close the door on this one. But anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Is there anything you want to leave us with, or what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Well, they can always email me, Allison@soulfocus-hypnosis.com. That's the best way. I'm terrible at replying.
Yeah, I'm welcome to the
That's
club.
That's just me. Yeah, I'm like spread thin here, and I require focus on other things. And but you know, they can email me. I always read my emails. I'm just terrible at replying. But I do want to say, like, anytime, everything is perspective, right? Whether you're a victim. Yeah. Or whether you're an empowered individual, you know, it's all a perspective. It's not the conditions that necessarily change. It's the perspective that shifted. And so anytime that anybody, including you, anytime that you're out there helping to shift a perspective, it changes everything. It literally changes everything. Just having your perspective shifted. So I just think that's where everything exists. It's all Great. Consciousness. It's all it's all the way you view something. So if you can shift that view, everything else changes.
I agree. Hey, well, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Keep up the great work. I love your frequency and your vibration, and we'll be in touch.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I love it. All right, James. All right. I hope you get uncovered from the snow soon.
Yeah. Anyway, so check out the photos, people. We're definitely buried here, and we'll be dug out soon. And, you know, keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. That will get you through these times. And remember, as Allison was saying, change your perspective. You may not have the right perspective, and my truth is always flexible. So keep it flexible. Anyway, good night.